Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And speaking of international editions, we have the great honour of having a friend of the show and a great friend of ours, Matt Giddo, joining us. Gits, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you, boys?
Yeah, we're not too bad. What about, mate, well, firstly, you've just touched down into the country, back from LA just the last couple of days. How are you feeling? How did the family travel?
Not great. Yeah, not well. Not well at all. my middle son gets travel sickness. We've got a two-year-old baby who's been up since 3 this morning. But, you know, we're alive, Drew. I don't want to complain.
Mate, how can you complain when all five of you fly up the front?
I didn't know there was a back.
Yeah, you never turn right when you get on a plane. Always turning left. Mate, I want to just jump straight into it. What did you think of last night's performance from the Wallabies?
I thought with the disruptions and everything that they had plenty of opportunities to find an excuse, but they found a good way to win and win. You know, obviously, if you take away that last try from England, they won quite convincingly as well. So, yeah, I think it was a real positive first step, you know, for them as to their, you know, progression to the World Cup next year.
Gits, Pete Playford here, mate. Welcome back.
Thank you, player.
Big one on, you saw that, you know, with Quaid pulling out just before the game, what are your thoughts on this young Noah Lolasio? I think last year he was a bit inexperienced, but last night he really stepped up.
Yeah, I reckon sometimes it can be advantageous if you get called in late. You don't have to think about the game too much. You don't stress. For him, he would have been preparing all week, knowing his role in case Quaid got injured early in a game. But when you're on the bench, you don't think that way. I think he was probably just thinking he might get 20, 30 minutes and then last minute to be thrown in and be told that you're starting. I think he would have been across the detail, but it's actually, I think it helped him. He didn't have time to worry. He just went out there and played his natural game, and I thought he did really well. He would feel a lot more comfortable, I think, at the Test Arena after his performance last night.
How do you think with Eddie Jones, you've been coached by him, and they would have layered their game around Quaid being 10, and then they play quite a different style. Do you think that's had a bit of a say in it as well, that they didn't adjust to having a different 10?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I think obviously Eddie, he leaves no stone unturned when he's preparing the team. So I think he potentially would have even had like some sort of small game plan if Noah was to come on earlier than expected. But I just think, I just thought that especially with everything that happened, the Wallabies didn't get any favours. And they showed a pretty, wouldn't say dominant performance, but I think they were the deserving winners. So I think they'll get a lot of confidence out of that.
Mate, speaking of some dominance, what about you on Twitter last night? What's going on, mate? Just stirring the pot a little bit. What's happening with the game? Talk us through that. Did you eat your own words this morning?
Oh, I just did. It was getting too much.
Babe.
I'm fragile at the moment. I'm jet lagged. I'm fragile. So I, to be fair, when I watched the game, I was watching it last night and I thought, I just really enjoy the contest. And I wanted, obviously, the Wallabies to win, but I just wanted there to be a good contest. And as soon as there's a red card, you automatically feel like the other team gets the advantage. So I went a little heavy-handed on the tweet and I threw that out. Wasn't a real lot of support, to be honest.
I even texted you saying, Beef, that's a red card in any level of footy in any part of the world.
You're not a ref. You're not a ref. Yours holds no weight. I think it was just, once I watched it again and you see what actually happened, I don't think it was a huge headbutt. Like a big headbutt is if you really bring your neck into it. What he did was silly and he probably did deserve the red card. So, you know, I was in the wrong. But, yeah, that was pretty much it.
Look, you do have a little bit of support. We've had a text through from a Matt also. Said, how is that hair pull not a red card offence? A grubby act, that to me. And it's far worse than a little headbutt. So you got some support from one of our listeners. What did you think about the hair pulling?
I'm not a big fan of that either. Like, Well, that's, I mean, there's so many things that you can miss throughout a game. So I also don't want to complain too much, because the one thing that he picked up, I complained on. So it's a tricky one. I think you can't pick up everything, but I think if, you know, there's going to be a sighting to that headbutt, potentially that push in the face or the hair pulling, something's got to be looked at. There was a long time ago, I think there was a reward for Georgie Smith's dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You know, teams would purposely target to pull his dreadlocks to get him out of the ruck. So, I mean, that can't be in the game either.
Look, the contract I was on, I got six of them. Paid for two more years.
And what about you, Gitz? Obviously, you unfortunately weren't able to play any minutes this year for the LA Guillotinies up in America for the in the MLR. And unfortunately also for your team, getting kicked out just the week before the playoffs. Talk us through what happened there, and or what you can say at least, what to your understanding, and what about next year? What happens next for Mac Udoh?
What happens next? I'll cross that off straight away. I don't really know. For me, it was, I don't know if the writing, you know, is on the wall a little bit, not being able to get a game out. So I had like a small... like tendon injury, like in my calf, and I just kept trying to push it and come back too early, and it would keep re-aggravating. So, you know, where I'm at the moment is I just want to get that right so you can run around and do normal stuff, you know, with the family, the kids or whatever else. For the team, yeah, it's disappointing to get kicked out. We still don't know a great deal about it, other than we know it wasn't salary cap, but I don't really know any more than that. The club can't say anything, I think, for legal reasons. So we don't, I don't know exactly where that's at, to be honest, Beefies. But, yeah, that's it. Disappointing season, you know, obviously compared to the one before, we were able to win the title. But to be pulled out so close to the finals was pretty devastating for the boys.
Now you talk about Eddie Jones leaving no stone unturned. You were coached by one of the great, I think, future coaches of this era, Adam Ashley Cooper, who's off celebrating in Vegas. Run me through his coaching methods.
Yeah, Coopy. Well, it was an interesting dynamic because, you know, obviously really good mates with him, as you boys are as well. So, I don't know. I think there was just, at times, you know, it obviously I'd go in and talk to him as a mate, but then other times you want to show him the respect that normal that you would for any coach, and to make him feel as welcome. And I think valuable is probably the biggest thing. As a coach or as a player, you want to feel like you're always adding value to the group. But then when you're now coaching, you can't actually play and add value. You've got to find a different way. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. A good dynamic with him, and working with him and helping him out was good. I think he really did enjoy it. I don't know why he's celebrating in Vegas, though.
Now, I want one exclusive, that when Drury Mitchell retired, he ran a marathon. Can we get you confirming that when you finally hang up the boots in a couple of years that you'll be running a marathon?
Look, I think what Drew did was very admirable, especially off the back of 7 days on the beers. I think he'd done it for sure. But, no,
and a fight with Buster Rhymes.
Never say never, player, but I just think that long stuff, I just don't know if it's for me.
Mate, if it's not for anyone, it's me. So if I can get through a marathon, you are most certainly going to be doing one.
Yeah, I know, but my thing is I want to be proud of the time as well.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Either was I.
No, I don't mean that, but I mean to have a real crack at it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have a go at it. It's just out of the way I'm wired, and it wouldn't be enjoyable.
Yeah, you don't want to do it just to shuffle through.
Yeah, although I reckon that's what I will be doing.
Well, Gitz, thanks so much for spending some of your Sunday morning with us. Say good day to your wife, Bianca, for us and the kids. I'll see you down in Canberra soon. But, mate, thanks for the chat.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys.